Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. Laodicea, the lukewarm church. The last and seventh church representing church history is the Church of Laodicea. It began around the 1900s with the introduction of Neo-Orthodoxy, where the concepts of biblical inspiration, illumination, and revelation were challenged and then removed from seminary curriculums. This is the liberal church of the day we are now living in. This church is rich and in need of nothing in its own eyes, and it will continue through the seven-year Great Tribulation period. Let me give you a little background. Laodicea was a wealthy city on the banks of the Lycus River, about 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia, 90 miles east of Ephesus, and 10 miles west of Colossae. It had a population of about 17,000 people. They raised sheep that produced a soft, shiny black wool. It was used in the manufacturing of expensive designer label clothing and rugs. It was also known throughout the Roman world for its medical school. What's amazing about this medical school is that physicians developed a salve that was known to heal all kinds of eye infections. Now you might be thinking, well, they were business people who were making an investment to take care of their families and their people. But here's the issue. When things are going really well, people tend to back off of their relationship and commitment with God. I mean, how many times do we read in the Old Testament where there was no king, the people did what was right in their own eyes? This is what makes it so ironic. In verse 17, Jesus tells them their condition was wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What's interesting, the name Laodicea means judgment of the people. Let's look and see what Jesus had to say, beginning in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Jesus starts off with saying he's the Amen. Amen in the Old Testament was actually another name for God. Then he refers to himself as a faithful and true witness because he's about to tell the people in Laodicea the truth about their spiritual condition. The problem was they didn't take him seriously. They were unwilling to face the truth. I mean, nothing's changed today. It's the same thing. You see, honesty is the beginning of real blessing. We have to admit to what we are, confess our sins, and then we'll receive from God all we need. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now, the beginning of the creation of God doesn't mean Jesus was created and therefore not eternal God. The word translated beginning means origin or source. The cults and the occults will go as far as to say Jesus was created, but he wasn't. He has always been with God and is God. Where do you find that, Rick? Well, I'm glad you're asking me. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Talking about Jesus, God's Son. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. Elohim. In this name, we see the plurality of the persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Way back in Genesis chapter 1, we see this. You know, people can't wrap their heads around it, but God doesn't manifest himself in three different forms, nor are there three gods. God exists in three persons who are equal in their attributes and yet individual and distinct in their offices and ministries. In eternity past, it was the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who determined to create a world that would include man being made in the image of God. The Father was involved in creation, Genesis 1:1, 2 Kings 19:15, Acts 4, verse 24. But so was the Son, John 1, verses 1 to 3, verse 10, Colossians 1:16, Hebrews 1:2. And also was the Holy Spirit, Genesis 1:2 and Psalm 104, verse 30. God created this world that he might share his love with creatures made in his image. Creatures that can respond to his love on a voluntary basis. It was the Godhead who determined that the Son would come to earth and die for the sins of the world. And when Jesus came, he told us he came to do what? He came to do the Father's will. So let's lay it out. Jesus is telling the church in Laodicea that they were blowing it in four different areas. The first area, they had lost their excitement, zealousness, verses 15 to 17. In the Christian life, there are three spiritual temperatures that show you where you are with the Lord. The first spiritual temperature, a burning heart that's on fire for God. Oh man, I remember when I first got saved and knew God had forgiven me for my sins. Just on fire for God. Luke 24, verse 32. And they, the disciples, said to one another, these are the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had risen from the dead. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Man, a hunger and thirst for God in his word. The second spiritual temperature is a cold heart. Matthew 24, verse 12. Jesus said, and because lawlessness, speaking of a condition without law, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Actually, that's a reference to these latter of the last days we're living in, the time that we are in now. The third spiritual temperature, a lukewarm heart. Verse 16, Jesus said, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Speaking of judgment, the problem with those who are lukewarm, they're comfortable. They're complacent. They don't even have a clue of what their needs truly are. Well, Jesus is testifying, at least if they were cold, they would feel it. It's interesting that cold water coming from Colossae and hot water coming from Hierapolis would be lukewarm by the time it got to Laodicea. interesting. God related as he did in all these seven letters to the seven churches. He related things that people could relate to. Jesus related a personal message to each church to identify his problem with them. This church represents Christianity today. I mean, without even noticing it, their spiritual power was dying. Jesus was standing outside the church and knocking, trying to get in. I mean, you can get to a place in your walk with Christ where you ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And after a time, it feels like God is not listening or he's not even there. You begin to feel like you're all alone, that the anointing that once was in your life is now gone. You feel cold and your heart is calloused. Here's the warning. If you continue to live in a sinful state, you will open the door for Satan to come in and totally rip your life and your family apart. The second area they were blowing it, they had lost their values, verses 17 to 18. They became proud. They measured things by human standards instead of spiritual values. I mean, it's a proven fact. When you get comfortable, you get lazy. You get careless with the things of God. You lose your focus of what is truly important in your life. And you tend to forget what God has done for you and your family. The story goes, if you boil water in a pot and set a frog in that pot, the frog will jump out because it feels the heat. But if you take that frog and set it in a pot of water and slowly heat the water, the frog becomes so insensitized to the heat, it'll sit in that pot until it's eventually cooked to death. The third area they were blowing it, they lost their vision. Verse 18. The word blind from the original Greek in the New Testament is speaking of being mentally blind. Mentally blind. I mean, they were living in a fool's paradise. They were proud of a church that was about to be rejected and judged. They were so wrapped up in their own lives, their own kingdom. They became lukewarm in their concern for a world lost, dying, and going to hell without Jesus. The fourth area they were blowing it, they lost their covering. Verses 17 to 22. In Scripture, to be naked means to be defeated and humiliated. A good example of this is Isaiah 20, verses 1 to 4. Jesus closed this letter with three special statements. First, with an explanation. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Do you know that God will even allow a church to go through times of trial so they might become what he wants them to be? His second statement is an exhortation. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This church had to repent of their pride and humble themselves before him. It meant stirring up that inner fire, cultivating a burning heart, man, that they once had when they first got saved. His third statement is an invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Comes down to this. God will never force us to take the direction he has for us. But if we continue to ignore the chastening, God will let us go the way that seems right to us. He will leave us, even though his desire is to have a love relationship with us. Jesus stands outside the door of our hearts. Jesus is knocking on our hearts. If we open the door and we ask Jesus to come back inside of our hearts, number one, he will reestablish fellowship with us. Number two, he will place back into our hearts joy and peace. Number three, he will bless our lives. And number four, he will begin to use us to spread his love to everyone around us. These letters to the seven churches, they're given to us so we would examine our own lives, our own ministries, so we'll know what is most important to us. I mean, we're not ignorant like the world. We know judgment is coming. You can see it. You see it. It's getting ready to happen. United States of America. It could have already been happening. The whole world. Here's what I see happening today. God is separating the true wheat, the true born-again believers, from the tares, from the non-believers. Only those desiring to please God are going to make it through the desperate times we're living in and the times that are just ahead of us. Jesus is exhorting us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, especially to you and me as individual believers, because the day is at hand. Next time, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Understanding the Rapture of the Church, Part 1. And the following Tuesday, we're going to look at Understanding the Rapture of the Church, Part 2, where we are going to look biblically, scripturally, at the pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation standings that we see people taking. And we are going to see that Christ is going to take us out of here before any part of that great tribulation period. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us, Lord. Father, I pray for a special blessing on everyone that's hearing and listening and going through these studies, these end time studies in the book of Revelation. Lord, and that we would examine our hearts and make sure that we are ready to meet you, Lord. We love you, Father, and we praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.